Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, wow. I like it. A ceremonial rocket launch was held at Moorhead State's Space Science Center this afternoon to mark the official kickoff of the Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium.
An Elliott County woman is facing 2 counts of murder in connection with a traffic accident last August.
And a state lawmaker says homeless people are having trouble getting new driver's licenses in Kentucky.
In sports, the Giants and Mets take the field in the Big Apple tonight for the National League's wild card game.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Governor Bevin says Kentucky's new aerospace industry consortium can launch the state into a new era of workforce development and economic expansion. The Republican was on the Moorhead State University campus this afternoon to talk about the initiative and participate in a panel discussion of its prospects. Bevin says it's particularly exciting for eastern Kentucky, where thousands of coal jobs have been lost in recent years.
We've got the intellect, we've got the capability, we have the work ethic. You don't spend time down in the mines and not know about engineering and safety and communication and following rules and being attentive to details. All those things are what are needed for the aviation industry. So I do think, no question, that this can be a replacement for some of the jobs that we've seen leaving here in recent years.
Bevin says the consortium will craft a strategic plan for promoting and developing the aerospace industry in Kentucky.
The new Kentucky Aerospace Industry Consortium is chaired by Dr. Ben Malfrus, who heads the space science program at Moorhead State University. Its board of directors is composed of 6 other people, including the state's Commissioner of Aviation, Colonel Steve Parker. Parker says Kentucky is ideally suited for aerospace development.
For one, you can get to 2/3 of the population in America with a 500-mile circle. Why do you think Kentucky is one of 2 states, the only state in America with 2 major air cargo hubs here? We got DHL up at CVG in Northern Kentucky, and we have UPS in Louisville.
Parker says Kentucky just needs to produce the workforce required by the industry to bring more aviation-related businesses to the Commonwealth.
A flight from Louisville to Baltimore was canceled today due to safety concerns. Natalie Shadowin is the airport's spokesperson. She says the pilot of Southwest Airlines 994 to Baltimore notified the tower at 9:20 this morning that there was smoke in the aircraft's cabin.
We received a call. Our public safety fire and rescue department was notified of a report of smoke in the cabin of an aircraft. They did respond. The scene was secure.
A statement from airport officials says the smoke originated from an overheated Samsung smartphone.
State Representative Leslie Combs is suggesting that the Kentucky General Assembly may be able to generate additional money for infrastructure repairs by increasing the gas tax if it reduces other taxes. The Pike County Democrat made the observation during a Transportation Committee hearing in Frankfort Tuesday. Combs says New Jersey's Republican governor and his state legislature last week agreed to hike their gas tax by 23 cents a gallon.
2 of the things they negotiated on, one is the same thing that I know I've been in groups and we've had discussions about. They would phase out a state tax. That's something we've talked about as a possibility. But something else they did, which is still way above what we've got, so it really wouldn't pertain to us, they have a 7% sales tax, and they agreed to decrease it by 0.375%. So the sales tax would still be higher than ours.
Combs is not seeking re-election this fall. She's retiring at the end of the year.
An over $100 million effort by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to remake a 14-mile section of State Route 32 in Rowan and Elliott counties is getting closer to becoming reality. Alan Blair is a spokesman for the cabinet.
We are actually getting into the stage now where we're finishing up some of the final pieces of design, which is like drainage and erosion control. And then we'll be sharing some final plans with local officials later this year and hopefully start purchasing right away for at least the first 6 miles that we can do in on the Elliott County side. But we hope to start purchasing that right away sometime next year.
The project will run from Elliottville in Rowan County to Kentucky 7 and the Newfoundland area of Elliott County. Blair says the KTC was especially careful in its design phase since part of the new highway will be built close to a federally protected stream in the Laurel Gorge area.
An Elliott County woman has been arrested after an investigation into a car crash that killed two people. 42-year-old Teresa Haney was the only survivor of a collision that occurred in August on Kentucky 7 in Morgan County. Authorities say her SUV crossed the center line to strike a motorcycle, ejecting both passengers. Thomas Tufts was pronounced dead at the scene, and Janet Caskey died of her injuries days later. Police arrested Haney yesterday on two counts of murder. She's being held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
An 8-year-old Scioto County boy has died from injuries he suffered in a traffic crash on Tuesday. The Ohio Highway Patrol says Devin Young was a passenger on a motorcycle that was struck by a sport utility vehicle on State Route 140 in South Webster. The driver of the motorcycle, 58-year-old Jack Medvey, was also killed in the accident. Troopers say the driver of the SUV, 76-year-old Jack Davis, turned into the path of the motorcycle. He was not hurt. The mishap remains under investigation.
Morehead is wrapping up a deal this week to acquire a strategic piece of property. City Council agreed in mid-August to spend $300,000 to buy a little more than an acre of land owned by the North family. It's located just off of Bridge Street and sits directly in front of City Hall and next to the Green Hill City Park. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the purchase makes a lot of sense for the city.
Really, besides our fire station, police station, and City Park, and of course City Hall, the city really doesn't have a lot of real property that it owns that can be developed. So it's always good to have that. And with it being adjacent to the City Hall and the Public Works properties, as well as City Recreational Complex, the City Park, it just gives us a lot of options.
At this point, Trent says the city has no definite ideas for what it might use the newly acquired property for.
Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr says the Obama administration can't guarantee that a $1.7 billion cash transfer it allowed to the government of Iran has not been used to support terrorism. The Lexington Republican questioned Treasury Secretary Jack Lew about the transaction Tuesday during a hearing in Washington. Barr is a member of the House Financial Services Committee and quizzed Lew about the money after the secretary said he saw no evidence that the funds ended up in the hands of terrorists.
That kind of begs the question, if you're transferring money to the government of Iran in cash, of course you're not going to see whether or not. That's the whole point.
The Obama administration says the cash transfer represents the settlement of a 37-year-old arbitration claim between the U.S. and Iran.
A Kentucky State House candidate is defending his position in several controversial social media posts. Dan Johnson is trying to fill the 49th district seat. He says he's ignoring calls from the state GOP to exit the House race, saying the party has never supported him anyway. Johnson continues to defend images on his Facebook page that compare President Obama to a monkey, saying the post is not racially offensive. The Republican also stands by his claim that a 1952 law prohibits Islam.
The law is against any religion that is trying to take over this country. And their religion is of one that says that they are to take over or overthrow and put Sierra law or put Islam in charge.
Johnson has claimed that several black legislators and pastors are willing to stand by his side, but he did not say who they are.
The Democratic Speaker of the Kentucky House of Representatives has appointed a bipartisan committee to investigate whether the state's Republican governor broke the law in his quest to convince lawmakers to switch parties. Greg Stumbo says the committee will have the power to subpoena witnesses and will submit its report to the legislature before it reconvenes in January. Two Democratic lawmakers have said Bevin threatened retaliation if they did not switch parties. Bevin's chief of staff, Blake Brickman, categorically denied that ever happened.
Federal approval puts Governor Matt Bevin closer to dismantling Kentucky's health exchange. Haley Hansen reports.
Federal officials have approved Bevin's plan to dismantle the exchange known as Connect. Launched in 2013, Connect has been a way for Kentuckians to get health insurance and Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Starting November 1st, people in Kentucky will use the Federal Health Exchange to find coverage. Officials at the U.S. Health and Human Service Department warn the transition will negatively affect those who use the exchange. About 500,000 Kentuckians have received coverage through Connect. I'm Haley Hansen.
Senators Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul made a joint appearance in Hazard Tuesday to talk about the recent passage of federal legislation to treat and prevent the abuse of opioids. The Republicans stopped at the Kentucky River Community Care Center to discuss the bill and the $180 million in new money it includes to battle the opioid scourge. President Obama criticized the legislation, saying the appropriation was not enough. However, McConnell told WYMT that did not appear to be a major problem for the president.
He signed it, and it passed overwhelmingly. And as I just said, we've increased the funding between last year and next year by 100%. He wouldn't have signed it, I assume, if he hadn't approved of it.
McConnell and Paul also spoke with former addicts, physicians, and law enforcement officials during their visit to Perry County.
People without a permanent address are having difficulty getting or renewing their Kentucky driver's license. That's what State Representative Jerry Miller says he has been told by constituents. Miller is a Louisville Republican and raised the issue Tuesday with the state's commissioner for the Department of Vehicle Regulation.
There are several large homeless shelters in Louisville, and several of them, of the residents, have cars. And they are finding it increasingly difficult to renew their driver's licenses or even get a new driver's license because of rules related to that they don't live at a permanent residence.
DVR Commissioner John Mark Hack says he has instructed Kentucky Circuit Clerks to accept the addresses of transitional housing facilities, halfway houses, and homeless shelters for the purpose of issuing state driver's licenses.
Rowan County High School set a record for itself during its state testing last spring. Principal Ray Ginter says students at the school earned their highest ever score on those exams, recording a cumulative 78.2. That's up from their mark in 2015 of 70.2. According to Ginter, that improvement is a credit to the hard work of the students and teachers at RCHS.
The staff has been focused on every student, not just a group of students like traditionally education has been. You sort of pace things for the good students, but we've learned to slow down, take everything as slow as needed to be for the one student to make sure that they get everything that we're trying to teach.
For its much improved test scores, Rowan County High has received the designation of School of Distinction High Progression from the Kentucky Department of Education.
The age cutoff for kindergarten in Kentucky is moving up 2 months next year. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the move means that most children will have to turn 5 by August 1st, 2017, in order to enter kindergarten for the 2017-18 school year. The current birthday cutoff is October 1st. Despite the change, officials with the Fayette County Public Schools on Monday said parents of a child who will turn 5 between August 2nd and October 31st, 2017, and who exhibit high levels of academic and social emotional aptitude can request that their child get early entrance to kindergarten. Children will be screened, followed by possible assessments. Placement decisions for 2017-18 will be made by February. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight mostly clear with lows near 55 degrees. Thursday warm and sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Thursday night clear with lows in the mid-50s. Friday sunny with highs around 80 again. Friday night partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. On Saturday mostly sunny but cooling down, highs will be in the upper 60s. Sunday sunny with highs in the mid-60s. It is 81 degrees in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 80 degrees in Inez, 82 degrees in Lexington, 83 in Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 82 degrees.
444, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, West Virginia's major party nominees for governor went head-to-head yesterday in the first of two debates before November's election. The two businessmen focused mainly on the state's economic issues. West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Jesse Wright has details.
Democratic billionaire and Greenbrier resort owner Jim Justice emphasized his business acumen and the fact that he is a political outsider during the hour-long debate. Republican State Senate President and car dealer Bill Cole touted himself as a leader who can make tough decisions when it comes to cutting government.
And we need a governor that has the guts and the will to right-size, to streamline and modernize our state government at the same time we increase our revenues.
While Cole says there are more efficiencies to be found in state government, Justice disagreed. He says that there may be more small savings, but that won't be enough.
You will not be able to cut your way out of this mess. You've got to some way grow your way out of this mess.
Cole and Justice do agree on a few things, though. Both say coal and natural gas are here to stay, but that West Virginia needs to diversify its economy and that timber needs to be a part of that solution. They also both support legalizing marijuana for medical purposes, but not for recreation. Justice took several opportunities to criticize Senator Cole for the state's recent budget crisis, saying Cole was at the helm and could have avoided an expensive special session.
In 2 years, we've lost 40% of our rainy day savings under President Cole's reign. 40% of it's gone.
He says the state should take advantage of low interest rates and begin rebuilding the state's infrastructure, especially in the wake of June's catastrophic flooding. Senator Cole countered that Democrats were to blame for the state's current budget issues and intentionally dragged their heels in finding a solution. He says the state needs to fix problems with government before putting money into roads.
Just the simple waste because we don't think it through. We need to get that fixed before I want to go invest a lot of money further into highways.
High-speed internet access was also a point of contention for the two candidates. Justice says he supports letting government play a large role in developing broadband infrastructure. Cole said after the debate that private industry should lead the way, with the governor only facilitating industry conversations.
I think they'll come together and come up with a solution that is a proper one, and it'll be in their best interest to do that, because if the heavy hand of government enters, no business is going to be happy about it.
Justice offered few specifics during the debate and in his own post-debate remarks, but said he's a big-picture leader, which is what the state needs.
We're dying on the vine. We've proven how to die. We've got to think big, and we've got to move forward.
Justice and Cole are competing to fill Governor Earl Ray Tomlin's seat. Tomlin is reaching his two consecutive term limit. No third-party candidates were invited to participate in Tuesday's debate. Cole and Justice will meet again next week during a debate scheduled for October 11th in Charleston. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the UK College of Public Health, with a reminder to parents to ensure the health of your child by offering a healthy diet and regular doctor checkups, including vaccines. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, is a common cancer-causing virus. The CDC recommends 3 doses of the HPV vaccine for all boys and girls ages 11 to 26. Total Care Pharmacy at 206 West Main Street in Moorhead is now offering the vaccine with no appointment needed. More information at 784-4491.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The National League's wildcard game tonight sees the San Francisco Giants visit New York to take on the Mets. With nearly 40,000 people expected to attend, Giants right fielder Hunter Pence says he likes the atmosphere the wildcard game creates.
It's one of the most unique experiences. The wildcard game is just such an intense atmosphere to just, you know, right off the bat, you're going into an elimination game, and it's beautiful for fans, it's beautiful for players and everyone that gets to experience the game, so just enjoy that.
15-game winner Madison Bumgarner will take the mound for the Giants. The Mets will go with 24-year-old ace Noah Syndergaard. Major League Baseball reports it drew just over 73 million fans in the 2016 season. AP correspondent Warren Levinson has more.
The total's down about 300 tickets a game from last year, but it's still the 11th highest total in the history of the sport. The National League West champion Los Angeles Dodgers were the major's attendance leader at 3.7 million, followed by the St. Louis Cardinals at 3.44. The Toronto Blue Jays had the highest attendance in the American League, 3.39 million. The Tampa Bay Rays finished last in their division and last in home attendance, 1,290,000. The Cleveland Indians won their first Central Division championship in 9 years, but were still 28th of the 30 Major League clubs in attendance. Warren Levinson, New York.
Members of the Morehead State football team believe it will take an almost flawless effort to beat Dayton when the Eagles visit the Flyers for a 1 p.m. PFL battle Saturday. Senior slot receiver Jake Raymond says Morehead got away with some bad penalties and other mistakes in last weekend's victory over Valparaiso, something the Eagles won't be able to do against the always fundamentally sound UD.
Valpo did their best to make us pay for it, and they did it for a lot of the game, but to be quite honest, Dayton won't let you get away with those kind of things, and we're going to work hard this week and make sure we're prepared for that.
MSU will be out to avenge last season's 20-15 loss to Dayton at Jane Stadium. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says junior Steven Johnson will again start at quarterback when the Wildcats host Vanderbilt on Saturday. According to Stoops, Johnson and the UK offense will have to play at a high level in order to move the ball and score against the Commodores.
What sticks out to you, too, when you think about Vandy on defense is how mature they are. They have, I believe they have 5 fifth-year seniors starting and 5 fourth-year juniors starting.
On offense, 2-3 Vandy features the talents of junior running back Ralph Webb, who leads the SEC with 582 yards rushing. The Round County football team has been shut out in its last 3 games, and head coach Gene Peterson hopes that scoreless streak ends Friday night when the Vikings host Boyd County. According to Peterson, the 0-6 Vikings have made critical errors that have cost them the chance to put up points, and there's only one way for them to fix that problem.
Execution is a big thing for us, and with our football team, I mean, we don't have a very large margin of error that we can withstand as far as in our execution of our offense. You know, we have to be pretty good at it for us to be able to succeed.
Boyd County is 3-3 this season. Round beat the Lions 34-16 last season. While it's easy to do, Cincinnati Bengals coach Marvin Lewis says he doesn't want quarterback Andy Dalton focusing too heavily on getting the ball to Pro Bowl wide receiver A.J. Green. Lewis notes that fortunately Dalton doesn't have to because he has other options like Brandon LaFell, who've played well so far this season.
And I think Tyler Boyd continues to come on. James Wright has had his moments. He's done well. I think all of the tight ends group, you know, Hewitt, H-backs, tight ends, all continue to move forward and get better. And, you know, and now the opportunity to have Eifert back and going will also raise our level.
Lewis is keeping his fingers crossed that tight end Tyler Eifert's injured ankle will be healed enough to allow him to play this Sunday against Dallas. Notes from around the NFL, Arizona quarterback Carson Palmer will not play in the team's Thursday night game against San Francisco. Chicago Bears wide receiver Kevin White has been placed on the IR with a broken fibula, and Panthers quarterback Cam Newton did not practice again today after going through concussion protocol. The University of Kentucky basketball team is going through preseason practice. Freshman point guard De'Aaron Fox is expected to lead the Wildcats this season, and head coach John Calipari says he is trying to get Fox to play like a former UK point guard.
John Wall used his speed as a weapon. It was his number one weapon. You all watched him. He would just run right up your back. De'Aaron has a little more of this and shoots it a little. So I'm trying to make his speed his number one weapon, but it's not his habit right now.
ESPN will air Kentucky's practice this Sunday on ESPNU at 7 p.m. Calipari told ESPN yesterday that he is a, quote, lock to be the Kentucky head coach for the next 4 to 5 years and will consider retirement after that. And finally, in sports, the Morehead State soccer team faces SIU Edwardsville tomorrow in a 7 p.m. OVC game at Jane Stadium. Enthused by his young team's play in last Sunday's 1-1 tie with Tennessee Tech, Coach Warren Lipka says the Eagles must continue to do a good job of ball possession.
If the early options aren't on, we've got to keep the ball. We can't just keep on playing a big ball all the time because, one, you lose possession. Two, our strikers get tired. You know, so we got to possess it and build. And, you know, we show the areas where we want to protect, where we want to build, and what we want to attack. And like I said, it's a young group that is now, I think, it's starting to catch on for them.
The Soccer Eagles are 3-8-1 overall. They are 0-3-1 in OVC play. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle volleyball and soccer are home this weekend. Volleyball hosts Belmont at 7 p.m. Friday and Tennessee State at 2 p.m. Saturday. Soccer will host Eastern Illinois at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and information available from the Moorhead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, led by energy and financials, as investors parsed through a slew of economic data while watching surging oil prices. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 112.58 at 18,281.03. The S&P 500 was up 9.24 at 2159.73, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 26.36 at 5316.02. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 3-2 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The SPDR S&P 500 Bank ETF rose around 2% today, indicating the strength in the banking sector, and posted its best day since August 5th. And U.S. crude oil futures were up 2.34%, finishing at $49.83 a barrel, its highest level since June, and oil was supported by bullish inventories data as the EIA said that U.S. crude inventories decreased by 3 million barrels, marking the fifth straight week of declines. And earlier, the American Petroleum Institute said that U.S. oil inventories had actually decreased by 7.6 million barrels. On the economic data front, companies in September created jobs at the slowest pace in 6 months as the labor market showed further signs of tightening, this according to a report from ADP and Moody's Analytics. Other data released today included the U.S. trade deficit, and it showed that it widened to $40.7 billion in August, while weekly mortgage applications rose almost 3% last week. And, of course, many market watchers are anticipating the government report this Friday for non-farm payrolls for the month of September. And, of course, this report could go a long way in determining whether the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates in the coming months. And, of course, many market watchers think that the Fed might move in December. Gold futures for December delivery settled $1.10 lower at $1,268.60 an ounce, this after posting their worst trading day since 2013 yesterday. In Asia, markets were up, with the Nikkei up 0.5% and the Shanghai up 0.25%. European markets were down, with Britain's Financial Times Index down over 0.5% and Germany's DAX Index down about 0.33%. Among Dow industrial stocks, Goldman Sachs and Caterpillar were your best performers, while Verizon and Home Depot were your worst performers. And in the S&P 500, Chesapeake Energy and Transocean were the best performers, while Salesforce.com and Acuity Brands were the worst. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up $2.53 at $115.94, CSX up 54 cents at $30.71, Marathon Petroleum up 89 cents at $42.27, AEP up a penny at $62.19, AK Steel up 4 cents at $4.64, and Dollar General was down $1.11 to finish at $66.94. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting The Devil Made Us Do It, depictions of Satan in Kentucky folk art. On display through December 3rd, the exhibition examines how the character of the devil has been portrayed by generations of self-taught artists from Kentucky. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Art Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Moorhead State University.
Taking a final look at the weather report for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear with lows near 55 degrees. Thursday, warm and sunny with highs around 80. Thursday night, clear with lows in the mid-50s. Friday, sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy with lows near 55 degrees. Saturday, cooling down, it's mostly sunny with highs near 65 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-40s. On Sunday, sunny skies with highs in the mid-60s, and Sunday night, clear with lows in the mid-40s. It is currently 81 degrees in Ashland, 82 in Flemingsburg, 80 degrees in Inez, 82 degrees in Lexington, 83 degrees in Winchester, right here on the campus of Moorhead State University. It is currently 82 degrees.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapin, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, Tilden Johnson and Victoria Agee. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Jesse Wright. And from the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.